Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, the sound of rock cracking, and once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we are right smack in the middle of June. And this week, we are going to concentrate on the Ring of Fire targeting Republicans. A miracle happened last week. A true miracle. And that's the southern pronunciation of miracle, okay? Wow. There are, I think, about 26 congressmen and aides that are alive today because of the heroic actions of a couple of Capitol police who were out protecting the majority. The third in line of Republicans in the House, Representative Scalise out of Louisiana. If Scalise had left early, like some said that he had planned to do, they were meeting early to practice softball early in the morning, and he happened to still be there when a crazed lone gunman who's allegedly asked, you know, are these Republicans or Democrats? And when he found out they're Republicans, he was prepared to kill. And how no one died is really a miracle. I'm going to talk about that more. We got a lot to talk about. Special show this week. I'm not going to talk about anything else. There's a lot that needs to be covered. We'll be covering that next week, next couple of weeks. So before we get into anything else, I'm going to tell you what's important. The Ring of Fire targeting Republicans. But it's for the entire nation, Republicans, Democrats, independents of any party affiliation, America. It's time to count your blessings from what could have been a massacre. I think God has given us a chance to come together and say, let's gain what we've lost. What I mean when I say that? Well, listen to the show. Because America is great, because we can debate, we got freedom of speech, and as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Where is that? It's found in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, written over 3,000 years ago. And if we can help each other, even though we may not agree and we don't like the other person's positions, we can listen, sometimes we can learn. And that's why a person listening to someone else, walking in their footsteps, trying to understand them, it may lead to a better America. It has in the past. We've been through the Revolutionary War, and we've been through the Civil War, so that we don't have to do that again. We can debate and talk and work it out. And these fringe people who live with guns and threaten to kill people because of political positions, it's wrong. It was wrong when there's been massacres before. It was wrong when a mental patient shot after a Representative Giffords in Arizona a few years ago. And what's the difference? Where's the media now who blamed everything on Sarah Palin when she was shot? Where is the media now? They've gotten very quiet. But that's a lot to talk about. So before we go any further, let's play this little tune. And I think the Republicans are in a ring of fire.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Well, Ring of Fire went around a practice, baseball practice, for a annual Republican-Democrat game that happens every year. And Republicans were practicing early in the morning, and I forget, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And on that field, the team, as they got together, one of the representatives, and we're going to play a clip in a minute from a representative from Texas, Representative Williams, and he was, I believe, hitting ground balls. He said to Scalise was on second base, and he just hit a ball to Trent Kelly. Now, Congressman Trent Kelly is from 1st District of Mississippi. And if those longtime listeners remember, back in 2015, that Representative Kelly was elected in a special election. And yours truly, Doc Holliday, was in that election running against Trent Kelly. There was 13 people running for that opened up seat after our Congressman Alan Nunley had passed away. So Representative Kelly was there on third base. He's athletic, and he's led men in the battle in Iraq. And he was right there on third base. He had just got a ground ball, and out from nowhere, a man came to the fence. And the man that was had been living in his car, and I ain't gonna call his name because I don't want to dignify the name. It was a cowardly act and a traitor to this country. And he had a high-powered rifle and rounds, and he couldn't get in the fence. It's a 10-foot-high fence. He couldn't get over it, but he started shooting through the fence. The first shot went toward and for my representative, Trent Kelly. And believe me, I mean, I ran against him, and he was a good opponent. He won, and I backed him up, and I would never want anything to happen to my congressman. And I can tell you, I've prayed for him. In fact, that night it happened, I texted him and told him me and my family had always been praying for him, and we now more than ever. And he texted back his remarks to me, and but I just want to say, I believe a real miracle happened. I think God had his hands on Representative Kelly and everyone there, and that the Capitol Police were still there. Because, again, if Representative Scalise from Louisiana, he's in leadership, and if he had security detail to Capitol Police, if he had left early, if he had not been there, then we'd have 26 dead congressmen, probably, AIDS. Very, very important. I think Senator Rand Paul said that's the only thing that stopped the massacre. Now, Representative Kelly, how that first bullet missed him, but I believe he yelled shooter, and he's, you know, he said he's been shot at in Iraq, and he thought when he got back from Iraq, he hoped that's the last time he's shot at. But it happened in Washington, D.C. So this was, as the rifle opened fire, as the man opened fire on these defenseless congressmen and aides, Scalise was hit on second base. And then there's a young man that's with Representative Williams that was in the outfield. He was hitting the leg. And there was nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to run. So if they had a dugout, I said, thank goodness it was lower than the ground. And they ran to dive in there. And you hear different stories from the different congressmen and representatives. And it went on about 10 minutes. When the Capitol Police started returning fire, they got in a firefight. But, I mean, there was no protection there except for the dugout. And to their credit, the Capitol Police had were shot, injured, but they kept firing until then the Virginia police, because this happened, I said D.C., but it really happened in a park at Alexandria, Virginia. So that just is amazing story of heroic Capitol Police and congressmen and aides helping each other out, and they survived. No one was killed. Now that is, when they say the 50 to 100 rounds were fired from a high-powered rifle, and the fact that this shooter missed when he had his probably the best aim and shot, the first shot toward my congressman, Congressman Kelly, and the bullet missed. God had his hand on those young men, congressmen. And I just have to tell you that America can use this time, and we can say, thank you, Lord. But it's time to evaluate what this poisonous rhetoric, and so much is coming out of the left. Now, when President Obama was president, Tea Party, and you know that's why I started this radio show, when I was a part of the Tea Party movement, conservative movement, looking for more freedom, standing up against the policies of Barack Obama, and I stood hard against Barack Obama's policies, but I never said anything or did or encouraged anything that would make anybody think I was for any kind of violence against someone. It's the place of ideas. You're supposed to have free speech. We do have it in this country. But that's the problem with so much of the left wing. We've seen where conservatives can't even speak on campuses because people in the far left raise such a ruckus and riots so that they keep any conservative ideas off the campus. That's not America. That's not free speech. That's not protecting free speech. And yet we have liberal-leaning papers like the New York Times. It's not any liberal-leaning, it's liberal. And they put out all this junk, and it gets a base so fired up that so many people are encouraged, that, and some people go over the edge like this shooter. So how can you have a fierce, passionate debate without enraging people to do violence? Well, that is what we got to get to. We got to get back. We need a little help.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, never needed anybody's help in any way.
Well, of course, that's the Beatles singing Help. And back in the 1960s, we talk about 1968 when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And just a few months later, running for president, and it looked like he would win the Democratic nomination, Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of the slain President John F. Kennedy, was assassinated right after the California primary. Two deaths, and there were riots during the Democratic presidential convention, and the country was really, really torn apart. Have we seen that level? Have we seen that level now of violence? No, but the rhetoric between the parties, and this is what I'm talking about, the media. Now, those who have listened to this show, those who watch conservative channels, can understand. Those who never watch conservative channels may have a problem understanding. But you look at CNN, MSNBC, the rhetoric and that they're putting out. Kathy Griffin, the media, the supposedly, I think some people think she's funny. I never have, and I don't even know who she is. I don't really care about even calling her name out, but she's the one that held up a decapitated head, bloody head of Donald Trump, and then it was repulsive. And then they talk about a college play, where it's called Killing Republicans in New York. Of course, there's a play where Julius Caesar and We talk about Shakespeare in the Park with Julius Caesar, but there's an actor that looks exactly, they dress up to look like Donald Trump, and everybody stabs him, and the crowd cheers night after night. Is that productive for the United States? Is that a building block where we can achieve iron, sharpening iron, to make each side better and sharper and understand each other better? I don't think so. And the hypocrisy is this. If any of that had been done to Barack Obama, any little thing that made Barack Obama look bad was severely scorched by the media. And even Tea Party, when they tried to make it look racist, nobody ever talked about, did someone plant racist signs to give the Tea Party a bad name? There was an activity going on from the IRS, which we know about now, that no one's been punished. And I believe a collusion between some radical left groups that went out to paint the Tea Party as racist. And I think they used some signs and made signs and said, look at this. No one investigated that. No government entity ever did. Can I prove it? No. So I'm not going to say it happened. But I do believe, just like if you remember in Mississippi, in the Delta, there was a church 2 or 3 weeks before the election that was burnt down, an African-American church. And it's burnt down, and somebody wrote Trump on a wall. And then they finally found who it was, and it was a member of that church. You know, but nobody, that made headlines before the election, but nobody told the real story when they found the criminal. It was a church member. He was African American. He was the one that wrote Trump and made it, wanted it look like it was a racist incident. So these things, it's almost like some on the left, and I'm not going to say everybody on the right has a clean nose, but some on the left, it seems like nothing's out of bounds. You can do criminal acts, and it's okay if the cause is good. But they look at the cause is good. Where do you draw the line? Can we draw the line saying you don't break the law? So many times we've seen the media give the left a break when something bad happens. This was bad. I mean, thank goodness there was no murders. And the only person to die was the gunman. But where is the left? Where are the mainstream media crying out against those who would decapitate President Trump and laugh about it and mock him and kill him night after night on the stage in a Shakespeare play? Where is the outrage? Where is the respect for the presidency of the United States? Even have people and professors on college campuses talking about if they take Obamacare away, then Republicans should be lined up and shot. When you hear that over and over, don't you think it can hurt and cause misguided people with mental problems to take guns in their hands? Well, it has happened. So where is the outrage that the left was crying out just a few years ago when Arizona's Congresswoman Gifford was shot? And you can go back and listen to my shows then. You can go back in the archives and listen how I made the passionate plea that let's debate, but that you can't have violence. And to the credit of Bernie Sanders, we know this shooter was a Bernie Sanders volunteer. And Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, who ran for president and was cheated by the Clinton team, cheated by the Democratic National Committee. Now, there was collusion going on. But he, to his credit, it just was repulsed by the act and again said there was no room for violence. And so thank you, Bernie Sanders, We have some things we can talk about and talking points and bringing our country together. But like I mentioned before, we have got to get back to the place where we have freedom of speech on college campuses. Freedom of speech should be allowed. And those who want to shout people down, you know, move them out. If they won't go peaceably, arrest them, but let people speak and give their point of views when they're invited onto the campus. Does that mean you can just drive in there and start talking on a stump? Well, no, not necessarily. But if you're invited by a student group, you should be able to be there and speak. And those who try to stop it, then if they are creating violence, if they're causing public disarray, then there's laws and things that the police should be able to do to move them out. But they're not getting good direction from the leadership of these college campuses. So where do we go from here? Well, let me remind you, listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. I'm going to tell you three things you need to know where America needs to go from here. But first, I want you to listen to some of the right the day after on Fox News. They interviewed Representative Williams and his aide that were in the middle of that fire, and his aide was the one that got shot in the leg. I think Mo Brooks gave his belt to use as a tourniquet when they were laying in the dugout. And, you know, it's just harrowing stories. And the fact that no one died except for the shooter is really a miracle. And people need to be thanking God. And America can use this to become stronger. I really believe that. And we're going to talk about the three things we can do and hear from them right after this.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
Woo, all right.
That's good.
Well, now there's our friend at Fox News, Todd Starnes. You can hear his report, and you can look up ToddStarnes.com to check out his. He had some great insights on this rhetoric and this targeting of Republicans, and it has been a ring of fire. So check out Todd Starnes at Fox News, and in a minute, I'm going to play the report from Fox News that you can listen to Representative Williams from Texas and his aide, and then I'll give you the three places America needs to go from here, and we'll end up the show with that. So stay tuned, listen to this little clip about their experience.
Joining me now, two men who live to tell the story of yesterday's ambush. Congressman Roger Williams of Texas injured his leg escaping the chaos, but he is here tonight serving as the GOP's third base coach, while on crutches, albeit. He's joined by his legislative aide, Zach Barth, who was shot in the leg. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It is a beautiful night out here. Congressman Williams, let me start with you. When you look at where you were yesterday and you think about where you woke up this morning and got here tonight, what's it like 24 hours later as you look back on what happened?
Well, it's hard to compare, Martha. It's what we had happen last yesterday was something that nobody ever thinks they'll be involved in. But we literally, thanks to Capitol Police, we saved 25 congressmen and some staff members. It was a moment that we all have our story. Zach has his story. I have mine. But we can't give enough praise to the Capitol Police that literally saved a massacre that would have happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you were huddled in that dugout when officers Griner and Bailey took this shooter down. Describe for me, Zach, if you can, what it was like in those moments when you were waiting in that dugout with Senator Flake and the others. What was that like?
You know, it was a harrowing moment from the beginning. I was out in center field shagging fly balls when the shooting started. You know, time kind of stood still after that first crack of the rifle, and somebody said run, and I ran as far away from the shooter as I could, ran to the right field, corner of the right field, got down on the ground because there was nowhere for me to go. Then he turned his sights to me and started shooting at me. Everything started popping around me. I got struck in the leg, and at that point I decided I wasn't going to be a sitting duck for this guy. I needed to get out of there, so I ran down the first baseline, jumped in the dugout, and that's where I met up with, Congressman Williams. We grabbed each other. It was very, there's a lot going on, very stressful, but in that moment we knew that the Capitol policemen were there, agents Griner and Bailey, they were protecting us, and it was scary. It lasted for about 10 minutes, but we were praying to God, and we had each other, and we were just trying to stay alive.
You guys have a bond that will never be broken, I'm sure, all of you who went through this. Congressman Williams, when you learned that this shooter was after specifically Republicans, what went through your mind? And when you woke up this morning, did you think that all of this was just surreal?
I thought that, yes, when he said he was looking at Republicans, I don't know that this is a Republican or Democrat issue. This man evidently had a lot of anger. He took it out this way. I think we can work harder in Congress and across the country and dialing down the rhetoric that we sometimes have, and I hope that this game, which had to be played tonight, will begin that process of bipartisanship, loving our country, and agreeing to disagree in the proper way. So I hope this is the beginning of a new era, and I think it needs to be. So this game should have been played, and I'm glad that we're playing it.
Zach, when you came to Washington, you're a young man. I'm sure you have a lot of dreams about how things would be here. How do you feel that this has changed you in terms of your outlook for the future?
I don't know that it's really changed all that much. I'm still passionate about what I do, the causes I believe in. I'm a public servant. And I come to work every day for the people we represent, and nothing about that's going to change. If anything, it's going to give me, more drive and more fire to do what I love.
You're a remarkable young man, and you are very brave, and you're a great sport to be out here tonight.
Well, that was a report you heard from Representative Williams, and like I said, my own congressman, Trent Kelly, he's a friend of mine, and was just by the grace of God, not shot by the first bullet that whizzed by. And he yelled shooter and helped others know there was a shooter. Get down and protect yourself. And in that split second, again, maybe that saved lives, because somehow where everybody was open in an open field, and an automatic or a semi-automatic rifle going after them, and no one was killed. What a miracle. What a miracle. Well, I told you there's three things that I get from this, this sad episode in American history that we can build on, because only the gunman died. First, number one, we need to thank God. It could have been a massacre that we're talking about. Thank God. I believe the divine intervention was there. Second, we need to learn to build relationships with those who we oppose. What the media is doing, the left-wing media, is dehumanizing. When a professor can get by and say the Republicans should be lined up and shot, no one challenges them in the media. No one says anything. Now, that's dehumanizing. It shouldn't happen to the left. It shouldn't happen to the right. It shouldn't happen to the moderates. You don't dehumanize Americans. We are American citizens. No side should dehumanize, and they should be called out when it happens. Now, number three, have passion for your cause and respect the passion for those who oppose you politically. Learn to love them. That doesn't mean you have to change your views, your ideas, and you can reach the goals and you strive for with passion politically, but you remember the golden rule. And what happens when the other side, that's what I'm talking about on college campuses, preach to them the golden rule. They'll say, well, it's out of the good book, it's against the law. No. Freedom of speech. You can use the holy words of the Bible. You can use whatever speech you want, but get the idea that do unto others as you have them do unto you. And when they don't, call them out on it. And maybe some alumni will stop giving to some of these colleges. Maybe state governments, with the Republican controls, can stop giving funds to the government, the universities, who will not allow free speech and protect free speech on their campuses. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. What a great, great way to live. And it should be done politically also. And that's this week's show. It's a special show. Ring of Fire targeting Republicans. Democrats can be targeted too. We are in this together. And we must build each other up. Don't have to grieve. Nobody has to grieve me. But we must not dehumanize. Build each other up. Next week, we're going to get into some of the health care issues. What's going on? What can we do? What can we do to make sure something's done this year? We're going to be talking about that on next week's show. See you then. God bless you. God bless each member of our Congress, our president, and every public official across this land. I want to say thank you for standing up and running. Democrats, Republicans, independents, I thank every government official for standing up. Now, I hope that we can live the golden rule out politically. Let's strive for that. And call on both left and right to strive for such excellence. It'll be great for America. It's another way to make America great again. See you next week. God bless you. God bless America.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.